Hey, Matt.
It's all right. It must the coal must have got dropped somehow. I don't know how that happened.
It probably was me. I've got to get rid of this phone. I'm running out of juice, so I've got it plugged in, and maybe I hit the jack or something, and it knocked it. I don't know what happened. Did you get any of that answer?
Like the first 10 seconds, you want to just start over? Pretend it never happened?
Whatever, yeah, I'm good with whatever.
Okay, great. All right, so then I'll just start with the question again, okay?
Sure.
All right, so how do you think Sins is different from your band's first album?
You know, I think that we tried to broaden our horizons with this time around. We tried to, you know, to up the ante as far as songwriting, you know, as far as musicianship, as far as production, everything. We wanted to push it to another level, and with the guidance of, you know, Skid Mills, that's another factor. We didn't have an outside producer that would do the whole record on the first one, and you know, I handled that myself. So this time, you know, it's a lot of you know, it's hard to let go of the reins sometimes and then let somebody else do it, you know, and so it's, you're really taking a leap of faith, and that's what we did this time around. So, and we feel like, you know, we've achieved that, you know, something really, really great, you know, and we pushed those bounds and those boundaries, and, you know, all the way from even, you know, my singing. I mean, I'm singing lower on this record than I sang on the last one, and I'm singing higher than I sang on the last record. So we just tried to push, all the facets, all around on this record, you know, as far as we could.
Yeah, how did it feel to, you know, record the album in just one place? Like you said, last time you were bouncing around a little bit. I mean, Skid has a very, very solid track record. I mean, Egypt Central has been really hot lately, and you know, he's got a lot to do with that. I mean, how did it feel to be associated with someone like that and just to have that sense of uniformity that the first album didn't have?
Well, you know, I think the first record did have a uniformity as far as stylistically, but, you know, this is a whole different ballgame. I mean, I recorded most of the last record in my basement studio, and to be able to go out with a budget and record the album in a real studio, you know, with a real, you know, engineer, producer, guy who has a Grammy sitting on a shelf, you know, it's just a whole nother world, man, it's a whole other level, I'm so humbled and thankful to have, you know, been given the opportunity to do that again.
And you spoke about your voice before. I mean, the first time I heard your voice a couple of weeks ago, I immediately thought of that movie with Mark Wahlberg, Rockstar.
Wow, yeah, okay.
Just because, I mean, that guy can wail in that movie. I mean, he can just go from really, like, soft-spoken kind of, you know, like a love ballad almost, and then just, like, really, like, tear your face off. I mean, how did you train your voice? How did this all happen?
Well, do you know who that voice is in the movie? You know who that is, right?
Isn't that supposed to be the lead singer from Judas Priest or something like that?
Well, you know, that's the story's based on that, but that's Miles Kennedy, who's singing for Slash now and Alter Bridge.
Right? Yes, yes, Alter Bridge, yeah, wow.
He is awesome. Miles is one of my favorite vocalists, you know, currently. You know, probably he and Brent. Yeah, those guys can wail. Well, I don't know, you know, I just, one day when puberty finally kicks my ass, I'm going to be fucked. You know, I won't be able to sing, like, in the stratosphere anymore. I don't know, you know, I took some, when I was going to college, I had to, like, fill out my, you know, my 2 years of college, my failed college career. I had to fill out some electives, so I took some vocal lessons, but, you know, I always had, you know, a range. I just tried to develop it a little bit more, but, yeah, man, I don't know. I just do what I feel.
I've listened to the whole album a couple of times, but, I mean, I keep coming back to one song, maybe because it feels so different from everything else that's on the album, but, All You'll Ever Need. What's the story behind that song? What was going on with you when you wrote it, and how did it feel to just listen to it the first time when it was finished?
That song is, you know, a few years old. I had it back in my catalog, and it's a love song, man. You know, and that's the thing about, like, we were talking about the difference between the last record and this record. I think this record, as far as being broader, also from a songwriting point, like, we've got darker and heavier moments on this album, as well as, you know, maybe the lightest moment we've had on an album, which is probably all you'll ever need. Which, you know, our regular label is joking around like this could be, you know, a wedding song for, you know, for a couple's first dance, because it really is about, you know, when you're in that first, you know, few months or couple of years of a relationship, and you're so damn happy, you know, and that's what this song kind of captures, you know. Doesn't capture the, you know, 15 years into a marriage, I guess. where the bloom is falling off the rose, as they say. But this is when you're just completely in love with that other person, you know, and it's probably one of the best times in your life, and that's what that song's about. And we gave it a little bit of an update as far as the chord voicings and everything, but yeah, that was one of the ones where singing that song and then, you know, cutting the high harmony backup vocal is like, yowza.
So how do you feel about this album? Like, do you remember the first time you listened to it? Like, what was the first thing you looked at the rest of the band? Did you guys have that, oh yeah, here we go kind of feeling? Like, what was the exact feeling the first time you heard the whole album full through?
You know, it's amazing. What I like to do is after I do do a record, I like to kind of let it sit for a while and then hear it again, like a couple of weeks later, to kind of get a fresh perspective on it. And when that happens, it's like, wow, you know, you know, like with this record, I was just blown away. Because sonically, it's just, I feel like, you know, it sounds better than the last record. It sounds bigger. It sounds heavier. Like I said, in some places, it sounds, you know, darker in some places. And yeah, I couldn't be happier with it, man. To hear it on the radio, and that's the thing, is like, I still get that chill, you know. Even though I've had a few songs, you know, that have been played on the radio here throughout my career, and it doesn't ever get old to hear your song like being played, and to hear that the phones are going crazy, you know, from the first time a radio station puts it on in like Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Colorado Springs, or Denver, or Spokane, or Boise, you know, hearing these stories, Johnson City, Tennessee, you know, here in Baltimore, it's phenomenal, man. Like, the response has been, it's been incredible, you know, to Man of Constantaro. It's really blowing us away.
So you're originally from Baltimore. I mean, what's the rock scene like there? I know I've interviewed tons of musicians before. Some are from New York, and that's an easy kind of answer. And, you know, Seattle is another. But Baltimore, what's the rock scene like over there? How did it play a role in your development as a musician?
Well, there's always been like a big band scene here. And unfortunately, a lot of it is for years, it has been cover-oriented. But there's a lot of guys that are, you know, trying to make it, you know, writing their own tunes. And so, there is a good community here, and there's a nice level of talent here. There's a good level of talent, I've always felt. And, you know, it's just need a spotlight, you know, to happen. Need one band to break it really huge out of here to help the others along. And, you know, hopefully that'll be Charm City Devils.
Where do you see this band going in the next 4 or 5 years? What are your goals?
My goal, you know, is to keep, you know, to play as much as possible, you know, every spot on the globe, and to, you know, continue to write and to, you know, improve as a writer, as a singer, as a songwriter, as a band, you know. I can't tell you what, you know, 4 years are going to, a whole, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, it's going to look like for us. I mean, but I know one thing, I don't ever give up. You know, I keep going on and on and on. So, you know, that's your answer. I mean, we'll still be writing songs, we'll still be putting out records, and we'll still be playing shows.
You said before, you know, it's always your goal to improve. What do you think you have to do to improve as a singer and a songwriter? What do you think your weakest point is?
I don't have one, man. I don't know. I think there's always room to, you know, I think as songwriters, we're always striving to write the perfect song, whatever that means to you as an individual, you know, that may be different things. You know, it's hard to say, you know, in that regard. I mean, there's always room for I think to be, you know, better at your vocation or your career. It's one thing that I think I'm starting to learn after all this time is that, you know, I think part of life is maybe to continue on and to, you know, that's part of the journey is through self improvement, you know, whether that be on a personal, you know, level dealing with your friends and family or as in your career, you know, I think staying stagnant and just, you know, it's death. You know, I think I finally kind of maybe stumbled on the meaning of life. I mean, I think that's, you know, like, you know, continuing on your journey and not like just being, you know, sedentary and stagnant and never wanting to, you know, broaden your horizon at all.
Let's just say a couple of weeks from now, you're in a small record store somewhere and you see a kid with your album, and you can tell by the look on his face, he's kind of hit or miss. Like, do I get this? Do I not get this? How do you grab this kid and get him to walk out of the record store with your CD? How do you pitch him?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Beg him? Daddy needs to put food on the table. I don't know. You know, I would ask him probably what bands he likes, and then, you know, talk to him about music. And, you know, if we have common ground, maybe he'll be intrigued enough to buy it. You know, I can't force anybody to buy the record, but, you know, I mean, it's the thing about music. You put your heart and soul into something, you know, you spend a couple years maybe of your life working on an album or a year or whatever. And, you know, you put it out there into the ether, man, and you send it out to the world, and you really can't control what happens to it from that point on. You know, either people are going to really connect with it and they're going to love it and want to be, you know, into your band and want to, you know, talk to you and want to hear more, or, you know, you maybe miss the mark with that connection and you know, maybe there's always the next time, you know, but I feel good about this one this time. I mean, We seem to be striking a chord with people across the United States, and it really feels good. I mean, a lot of people have downloaded the single already, and we had a great first day of sales yesterday. And so, you know, I'm just hoping it keeps on going. And I mean, that's what music is about, kind of connecting to your fellow human being, you know, and getting on the same wavelength. I mean, you know, and this song has all of it. I mean, this album has all of that. It has, you know, some people are going to be angry some of the time, and this record has angry tracks. Some people are going to be in love, like we talked about earlier, and this song has that song that's about love. You know, this song, this album has a track about, you know, about surviving, you know, my personal, you know, personal battle with surviving skin cancer. And, you know, the cancer has touched a lot of people, you know, lives, and I think people can relate to that. You know, there's a lot of different themes here, and it's, you know, it's really about life. It entails, you know, the whole gamut. So I think there's a good chance that people are going to connect with many or all of these tracks on this record.